This is Ozarks at Large. Caroline Rose is one of more than 150 musical acts performing at Wakarusa Music Festival this week. En route to Mulberry Mountain, Caroline, along with her bandmates Jared Coons and Pat Melvin, stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk to Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. During their conversation, Antoinette asked about Caroline's description of herself on her website, which includes the phrase, failed architect, failed employee, halfway decent musician.
I got a scholarship to study architecture and was going to do that, and then got really disillusioned with that. And then I worked at a farm, and then I worked at a cider distillery. Good jobs, but it wasn't a good fit at the time, I think. And then I worked in a little grocery store in New York, and then I got fired from that. And then I just sort of started wandering around, and music just sort of happened to be at the right place at the right time. Jer and I had been making records for probably 3 years already at that point, and we were just doing them for fun. And then we made this one record called America Religious that I'd sort of compiled after just wandering around for a really long time. And so we made that, and it seemed to get a little bit of traction. And then we did a Kickstarter campaign and raised a bunch of money and got some more traction from that. And then I started doing house concerts. And then we started getting a bunch of house concerts and ended up doing a giant loop around the U.S. And then it just sort of took off from there. So it was a very grassroots effort, and it just seems to be going well. So.
And how long has that been now? How many years has that been?
One.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You seem like you've accomplished a lot in just a year.
Yeah. I'm still kind of in a dream state, I think. Yeah, I'm still waking up to that, how much we've done.
Yeah. Well, how did the three of you meet?
We met on Craigslist.
We don't know each other.
We just met today, actually.
Oh, okay.
No, I met Caroline. I was playing as a solo artist, and she was a student opener. And I didn't expect very much. And then, like, 5 seconds into her first song, I was pacing in the back of the room with my hand in my head, like, how can I follow her? She's so much better than me. And then she sent me an email a couple days later and was like, wow, I really thought you were going to be terrible, but you are great. And I wrote back, ditto. And we started making records together.
Snobby musicians find each other.
We started making these kind of casual recordings together in Vermont, where I live, and have a studio there in 2009. And, just kind of kept at it.
Yeah. I'd been making music for a long time. It was always a personal thing for me. And I started out street busking when I was 15 or 16. So it wasn't as if I had just started playing and writing songs.
Sure.
I've only been doing it about a year professionally. And we found Pat. He plays this thing called Honky Tonk Tuesdays.
Yeah, they picked me up at a bar. That's pretty much exactly how it happened.
You just look so scrumptious.
Oh, that's sweet of you to say.
It's very easy to persuade you.
No, it wasn't that easy. They came up and said, hey, do you want to play with us? And I was like, no, I don't. I don't know you guys. I've never heard the music. And Jared was like, well, why don't you listen to the album? And if you still don't want to do it, then that'd be great. Don't do it. So he sent me the album, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. I should probably do it.
I should probably put everything else on hold.
I wish we had met you sooner, but then we would have no way of wooing you without the record. Because Jer and I did most of the parts on the record ourselves. Mm-hmm. And Jer runs a studio in Burlington, Vermont, where we're based out of. And we had another guy to come in and fly in some upright bass parts, who was not Pat.
No, he's not. I have his bass at my house, though, which is a funny side note. He still owns it.
Oh.
He just doesn't play it that much.
They have shared custody.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes with instruments. Well, in reading a little bit about you online, I read that you really enjoy traveling around the country. When did you sort of first realize that that was something that you like to do? When did you kind of realize you had this passion for getting out there and wandering about?
I was pretty much raised that way. My parents are both, they're both wanderlust type people. And my sister and I started traveling when we were really young. When we were babies, our parents would just drag us along everywhere. And my mom is the type, they're both artists. And my mom is the type of person that she just knows how to save money and find deals and stuff. So we would travel a lot. And most of the stuff that we did, we would go to different national parks around the U.S. So by the time I was a teenager, I had seen most of the country already, and that just sort of transpired into my own life. And now I just do that all the time. I live out of a van most of the time, or just on friends' sofas, and then I just write. It's really inspirational moving around. It makes my brain kind of just take off, and so I have all these thoughts when I'm moving, and that's definitely where most of the songs come from. And you're meeting people, you're seeing new things. It like keeps you active, makes me feel alive, and I hope that comes through in the songs, that it's not just songs about joy, but songs about struggles and things that I've dealt with and people that I've met, and a lot of that comes from just being in random places and meeting random people and doing random things.
Your most recent album is American Religious, as we mentioned. It's got 12 songs on it. Can you talk to me a little bit about the title track? Was it inspired by your wandering about the country?
Yeah, totally. That's sort of a vision-induced, definitely a wanderlust song. A lot of my songs have to do with being disillusioned. And that's probably partly as to why it took me so long to do this as a profession, just because I never wanted it to be, I never wanted to start hating it because it was a job for me. It was something that I had to do rather than that I needed to do for myself. And a lot of the failed attempts that I had at other things were just ended in feeling disillusionment, whether it was the architecture thing didn't work out because I was designing stuff for people who I couldn't relate to. You know, it felt like you were making all your ideas were going to the top tier of society who I have no direct contact with at all, and it felt like a waste of time. And a lot of the stuff that I have done has sort of ended that way, just being disappointed, whether it's about politics or religion or friends and family. There's so much of that that is so, it's so saturated in life that we almost become numb to it. And that song in particular is about just being a young person and trying to find some sort of place in this country that everyone has become so numb to all these things that we don't even talk about them anymore or even notice them. Because they become so ingrained in just normal life.
JR, I know you also worked on this album. What kind of input did you have on it? Is there a particular song that you were instrumental in, or how did that partnership kind of work?
With America Religious, Caroline wrote all the songs and arranged all the songs, and we tracked it at my studio and co-produced it. And the two of us are playing pretty much all the instruments, so between the two of us, we're playing drums and mandolin, guitars, lap steel, mm-hmm. bass, percussion. And I think I'm just kind of there as a sideman and an enabler, in a way. She'll come in with an idea or have a pretty fully baked song, and then we'll just kind of hash it out. With that record, she would take a guitar, and I would usually sit at the drums, and we just kind of bash around until it felt right, and it was kind of the right tempo and the right feel, and then we just kind of lay that down and build the song around the skeleton that we cut live. So yeah, I'm usually just sitting on the other side of the glass for things like that.
Well, usually, it was pretty much whoever got to the an instrument first would lay down a part, and if I had something in my head, then I'd go and just play it and track it, and most nights we just slept in the studio and woke up and played a bunch of parts and then went out and then would come back and do the same thing. So it was kind of a scrappy way of recording. But now listening back on the record, I'm so proud of it that we did it that way. And I don't like too many cooks in the kitchen, so Jer and I work really well together when we can just go in and I know what I want before I go in, and I can just sort of tell him, I want it to sound like this. and he kind of helps me get the sound to where I want it to be. And it's just the two of us, and you know, now we've got Pat, who's just such a great addition in this record that we just made that'll be out in August. It was even easier than America Religious because we just went in and I had a bunch of demos for the songs and we learned the parts and just played as much as we could live. And that's just how it happened. Yeah, it's usually a very organic process.
On your Facebook page, I noticed a picture of a library back in February where you made this remark that you, you know, the best song you'd written to date. Do you normally write in libraries?
You did your research.
I did. Did you, do you normally write in libraries or?
No, I mean, I write anywhere. I just like the library because it's free and, you know, it has public bathrooms and stuff and it's quiet. I think that day I was just traveling on my own, and I stopped in Boston. That was in the Southey Library, and I was just walking around, and I had an idea in my head, and so I sat down. I had been walking all day, too, because my feet were really tired. And so I sat down in the library, and for someone who never has a ton of money to spend, the library's awesome because you never have to leave. and I think I just sat down and wrote this song without any instrumentation or anything like that. A lot of them, I'll just hear the parts in my head, and so I can just write down the words with the part playing as I'm writing. And that one I actually haven't even played yet on an instrument. I was just really excited about it because I thought it was a really good song.
But it didn't make it to the new album?
Well, I wrote it after we had recorded the new album.
Okay.
I'm already ready for album number 17. Like, I'm ready. Business moves really slow, much slower than art does. So I'm kind of working at a fast pace. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what can we expect from the new album that's coming out later this year?
I listened to a bunch of different styles of music, and this last, America Religious, is a lot of my favorite classic songwriters that I was kind of pulling inspiration from, or, you know, there's some alternative stuff on there. There's, like, a lot of gospel-influenced stuff. This one, I think, there's definitely some folk rock and roll. I really love surf rock, so there's, like, some elements of surf rock on there. Rockabilly, I love. So, and I also really like Western soundtracks, like the old spaghetti Western, and like Ennio Morricone, and that type of stuff. So there's influences of that. It's kind of all that stuff mushed together. But I'm definitely excited that we've got a full band now, and we can kind of start making bigger noises. So even the record after this one coming out, you know, I want to move in that direction, just kind of experiment with different sounds, try and get some bigger sounds, and make sure. I just want all my records to sound a little bit different. You know, I don't want to repeat any steps that I've already taken.
The current album is American Religious. We can expect a new one later this year. Is there a name for it yet?
Yeah, it's called I Will Not Be Afraid.
Okay, and if people want to keep up with when that's going to be released or anything else, what is the website?
CarolineRoseMusic.com.
Okay. Well, would you guys like to play something for us?
Yeah.
So this song is called This Is What Living Feels Like, and it goes like this. Sipping on a stolen nip, stacked up on Mohawk cigarettes. I know someone needing a fix. Garden to New York City, the rest of Dallas piece. I pay my way down the Natchez Trace to New Orleans. Ain't getting any younger, oh, I'm tired of feeling alone. I pay a smile to the prettiest side in my rear view, the backlit city skyline. Oh, baby, this is what living feels like. Houston.
Austin, think I'll bypass this town, cause Johnny's got a split with my name on it. In Austin, where everybody's hip, honey, I guess I'll have my all I want, to cowboy to lead me in some honky-tonk dive, a juke joint dive, like poor monkeys to cornhouse, through Redmond Aiken, two left turns off Highway 61. I'm keeping this road hot until she drives black top in the back, my finest bottle of scotch, top down in the valley, feeling all right on stereo, feeling like I could dance all night, baby. This is what living feels like. Oh, on a misty white sand beach, a whisper, cloudy hair and sun golden teeth, I feel the pulse of everything from my head down to my feet, every heart left in the world beating within me. I'm in love with his life, I flirt with time to buy more words, mine so rightfully mine, just my little piece of the pie. But if I'm going now, then I'm going out in style. Oh, say what you will, say what you like, it's another broke down beat in the heart of big sky.
That was Caroline Rose, Jer Koons, and Pat Melvin inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They performed last night at Wakarusa Music Festival. More information about the band available at carolinerosemusic.com.